Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, because I want you to holler at me. The call-in number is 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And, as always, I know some of y'all are a tad bit afraid to give me a holler, give me a jingle, so email me. Smooth Drama at SmoothDrama.com. You email me, I promise. Your questions, comments, concerns are important to me, and I got you. I'll take care of you. I'll talk what you want talked about, because I'm that kind of guy. Not like that LL Cool J song, you know, leave my drawers in a hamper. I'm just that type of guy anyway. Also, social networking. We got the Facebook Smooth Drama page and any social networking site. Just Google. If you find me on Google or Ask Jeeves or Bing or whatever your social searching site of preference is, find Smooth Drama, hit me up. I will add you back. Because, once again, I'm a nice guy like that. You know, I'm just built to please. It's what I do. And if you're in the chat room, or if you just happen to be ghost listening, you jump up in the chat room, holler at your boy. I got you. In the meantime, about getting you, I hope some of y'all don't have that new Samsung Galaxy Note 7 phone, because there's a recall. Apparently, it's not just exploding off the shelves. It's like literally exploding. Like, it's fire prone. The batteries that it's equipped with, they're just fire prone. Fire prone. And it is like literally blowing up while using it. So, yeah, you got one of them joints, give it back. Now, they say that the models in China feature a different battery and are not being recalled by Samsung. It's just the South Korean battery. And since y'all probably don't know the difference between the South Korean battery and the Chinese battery, because apparently all Asian batteries look alike, Just turn it back in. If you bought you a Galaxy Note and you haven't turned it in, we can't be friends. I can't hang out with you because, you know, we hanging out and your pocket explode and your booty's on fire. Or, you know, some of you ladies, y'all have the phone in your bra or whatnot. The smell of burnt titty is not high on my smells that I'm trying to get used to. So, yeah, Galaxy Note 7, send that bad boy back, regardless of whether or not you know what battery it is, because it's not up to any good. But I am going to talk about something good, since, you know, we celebrating black folks. I'm still riding that I'm black and I'm proud high. Serena Williams, you know, who has basically shut down tennis. She's held tennis hostage for like the last 15 years, where white people don't even want to talk about tennis no more because of Serena. She just earned career Grand Slam win number 308. And she's on her way to a record 7th U.S. Open title. And I mean, this is with her moving past Roger Federer to the top of the all-time Grand Slam victories list, meaning it's not just a female list, it's a everybody list. So Serena has shut down tennis, and they're probably not going to talk about tennis anymore until the new latest white phenomenon comes through and beats her. And then tennis will be on TV and they'll be talking about tennis again. Because right now with Serena, I mean, because Serena is the anti everything that America wants to be associated with. You know, she's not light skinned and she's got big breasts. And as y'all know, she also is kind of working with that severe twerk material back there. I know for me and a few of the homies, when she wore that cat suit, it was like the world stopped for like however long that match went. But I remember they said, oh, Serena Williams has on a cat suit. And I was like, I need to get to that channel. But the point is, yeah, she's anti-everything that America stands for. She's not young anymore, but well, technically she is. Young, gifted, and black, and stacked, like, stacked, dark skin, and it's not fake titties, it's not fake booty, that is all grade A, whatever you eat, if you're a vegetarian, that is all, prime tofu. If you're into beef, you know that is grade A sirloin. I mean, even if you're into the swine, that is some serious fat back. Or if you like me, chicken, turkey, or fish, you know, watermelon, whichever one you want to call it. It's like she's got two watermelons back there. And that's probably how she get that power. Anyway, I'm objectifying women tonight. I should not be doing that. I am praising Serena Williams, though. I know it's a great accomplishment. The fact that she has more wins than anyone, and I say Grand Slam wins, meaning these are the wins that count for something. She has more wins than anyone in Grand Slams, meaning tournaments that count. She is the one. The Highlander. And she's got two ham hocks in the back of her shorts or skirt or whatever she's wearing. Doesn't hurt. That's the only time I would consider swine. Anyway. I was at Hero Day yesterday. Just a concert over 40 acts. Downtown Oakland. It was great. Got to see Paris. Got to see X-Clan, which I had never seen X-Clan before. So that was awesome. And got to see Too Short. And it explained to me why the word bitch is very important in the Bay Area. Too Short. As dude introduced him, was like the man who had Oakland on his back all his years. You know, he comes out, what's my favorite word? The crowd's like, biatch, what's my favorite word? Biatch. It's like, and as I look around and you see the crowd and it's not the fellas. It's the honeys singing the song word for word. And by no means was it a racial thing, because every race was represented there And they were all singing these songs word for word. Because it's like the Honeys knew the song way better than the Feathers. I mean, because I'm a profess, I don't hate Too Short. But I can't say that I've ever bought a Too Short album. There may have been a song or two that I could ride with, vibe with, but a whole album, couldn't do it. As I can, I mean, not that I haven't heard the word bitch said a million times in a hip-hop song, but not the way, I mean, because Too Short in the word bitch, that they have a special symbiotic relationship that, you know, it's a bond that can't be broken, that is just, I don't know. It's hard to explain it. But yeah, it is amazing. But overall, it was a great experience. I had a great time. Got to hang out with the homies, whatnot, and listen to some good music and some not so good music. Speaking of which, Young Thug. Young Thug, who dropped his latest mixtape, No, My Name is Jeffrey. On the cover, there's the image of him rocking a blue skirt. A long skirt, but it's a blue skirt nonetheless. And wow. It was... I don't know. It's hard to describe it because it was like, I'm guessing homie that made the Boondocks was like, man, I didn't think that they was going to take my do the homie idea seriously and wear the dresses. And I guess next is the ass out dress where you can put your gun, as they call it. But we know probably something else will be going back there. Anyway. The article that I read, and I bring this up to quote the article, Young Thug's album cover is more than just a man in a skirt. And, you know, they go on to talk about it like, and I'm going to quote this article. It was on Black Voices, by the way. Whatever your thoughts on it, whether you think it's a PR ploy or him trolling everyone, consider first how the very act of a black man wearing a skirt on his album cover is helping to evolve the very definition of masculinity, especially in the black community, even more so within the hip-hop landscape. Yeah, because, I mean, think about it. Is it PR, or is it just the man in the skirt? And is he defining masculinity? I sat up there and I thought, like, maybe whoever wrote this article on Black Voices, and I didn't care to get their name, and not gonna care to. The evolving the very definition of masculinity. Because, you know, you could step out and express yourself creatively. Now, they go on to say outside of gender norms like Prince, Andre 3000, and Kanye West before him. Yeah. But, you know, I never thought of Prince as masculine, and I never really seen Andre 3000 aside from some shiny stuff and exotic hair. I never thought of him as expressing masculinity or trying to evolve masculinity. It was just a different kind of cat. And, you know, as somebody who has worn some crazy stuff, just because it was just funny. I don't think it's the clothes, but I think a man wearing a dress, a long dress at that, and then talking about evolving masculinity in the black community and within the hip-hop landscape. Like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think you're evolving anything. It's just, you're, to me, just another black man in a dress. Shit, after Madea, Tyler Perry is kind of old hat. I mean, it's not like that's new. I mean, Flip Wilson did it way back in the 70s. Lest you forget. Milton Berle did it, white man. But if we gonna just stick to black men and talking about evolving the very definition of masculinity. Yeah, Martin Lawrence. I mean, all these cats have worn dresses. I mean, as you know, Dave Chappelle is overly famous. Oh, and I see we have a caller. Okay, caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How can I help you?
Thanks for having me on the show. I just wanted to agree with some of the things you were mentioning as far as masculinity was concerned. I did have some questions that I would like to ask you, though. Is that okay?
Ask away, brother.
Okay. So, it is to my understanding that, it's to my understanding that the masculinity of a man is basically the integrity of a man. And so I'm saying that to say that the man is supposed to be dominant all around. But what I have noticed is that most of the men that I come across and experience, most of the men are women. And now, well, most of the men are boys and the women are too. It's like everyone takes this male approach to life. You know, they think and function out of a male psychology. Like you was talking about the Young Thug issue, right?
Right. Now,
yeah,
now,
so
you,
Young Thug.
Now I'm saying, I hear you say that the male perspective, I mean, which male perspective are we speaking of?
Boy, they're thinking out of a boy perspective. I apologize. I guess
okay.
The proper way to say it, they're thinking out of a boy perspective and, you know, a young child perspective. Like, when you talked about the Boondocks, you were right on with that, you know. First it was a TV show. Now there's actual people out here doing it and wearing dresses, you know. And
yeah.
So my thing is this. That these people are not restoring humanity or supporting humanity. They're basically destroying humanity because they're using their psychology to oppose on other people and letting it be known that it's okay. So I was going to ask you basically, do you think we ultimately decide as a people how we want to be treated by others, by the way we dress or enact, or basically are we basically different from others just because?
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a very thought-provoking question there. And I'm gonna say first, thank you, brother. Where are you calling from?
My name is Black Gladiator. I'm calling from out of Washington, D.C.
All right. Well, Black Gladiator, thank you for calling, brother. And I'm going to put you on hold here, and I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
All right. So in thinking about that question, and do we dress how we want people to treat us, or are we different? I mean, I would say, yeah, of course we're different. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, we are the progenitors of civilization. Pretty much every original idea that we've had has been poached and circumnavigated, made to look like someone else had thought of it when they basically got it from us. And we basically are trying to mimic the mimic, if you understand what I'm saying. So when we talk about mimicking the mimic and dressing, and I want to make this distinction, because when we talk about men in dresses, I mean the garb in ancient societies were like onto dresses, kilts, the toga, whatever, the Egyptian. I mean, because 120 degrees sometimes in the heart of Kemet. And yeah, you need some air circulating. I mean, it's a different time. Now when we see a man wearing a dress, it's more, in my opinion, a European psycho-domination. Like, you can't be a star unless you wear the dress, i.e. the Dave Chappelle, as an example, didn't want to wear the dress and has been made to disappear. So, yeah, how you want to dress is how and how you want to be approached by the mainstream. And I think when we talk about Young Thug, he is trying to be mainstream and get money. I mean, yeah, it's a PR ploy, but he also understands that, hey, if you court the gay dollar and you say, hey, I'm willing to acquiesce my male manhood to show you, hey, look, you know, as far as masculinity goes, then you're good. I mean, because it's a little different, because when we talk about, and I talk about the Greeks and the Romans in particular, you know, those were predominantly gay societies, but they were warriors. It's different. You know, when we talk about these guys that are gay, they couldn't bust the grape in a fruit fight. And when we talk about those guys, they conquered the world. They were gay as hell. So, I mean, you know, the gay part, it had nothing to do with the masculinity of the person. When we talk about that, we're talking about the acquiescence of your power. And I think that's when you dress that way, you're saying, I've acquiesced my masculinity and I can be circumvented. I can be bent to mainstream society's will. And I done gone over a little bit, but I hope I answered your question, brother. And keep them great questions coming. Now, as to how I feel about it personally, Young Thug and people who want to be like that, I don't really have any words for it. I'm going to let Sean Price say what I wanted to say. This is Sean Price. Shut the fuck up.
I think that if you truly want to stop the violence, you look at someone who's violent, you pick up a baseball bat, and you beat it.
Listen, all I do is rap and rhyme. I don't know today's math. Don't keep track of time. Universal beat down the universe. Sean P, aka you the worst. The best rapper, the worst rapper, the dead clapper, the purse snatcher, the next snapper, the earth slapper. This your man Sean, the opposite of a fucking Duran Duran song. That nigga thought was the whack shit. My rap slapped the earth off with the axis. You're dealing with the motherfucking boss, you bastard. Niggas died when I raised my voice to ratchet. Motherfucker, you, for my fan casting magic posted on YouTube. Bitch, I pray to God that you rise. Sean Frank, the greatest rapper alive. Shut the fuck up. Now, obviously, then the violence is stopped. Second verse gone. First verse was Brano, the next one is gone. Back when milk was chilling, my man smoked a bag of dust and killed his children. No fucking around, no wills to stilting. Niggas that off balance get killed for stilting. I bang burners that bitches, I built the building. Cover your route, flesh band, quote your feeling. Too hot to take off the hot sweater. Expose a lot of cheddar, get pop with a hot spreader. African boss Mandela. Easy, y'all mean when smoking, y'all mean clutching the pound. Then I start waving my arms and walking around. Niggas stop playing with Sean. Listen, I spit prison E-bomb bars. That'll put you with the ER, pa. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Sean Price with my answer to how I feel about the whole Young Thug and wearing dresses and all that. Shut the fuck up. That's it. Got nothing else to say. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. What y'all know about Colin Kaepernick? Everybody was talking shit. Oh, Colin Kaepernick, he the worst dude on earth. How you gonna let Colin Kaepernick? He can't even play quarterback. He ain't got nothing going. Colin Kaepernick is this. Colin Kaepernick is that. Hey. Colin Kaepernick got the hottest selling jersey in the NFL. Now, I did read an article where they were talking about Black Americans support Colin Kaepernick. White people, not so much. And I was like, oh, no. Are you serious? Are you serious? But apparently they were, because they said only 29% of white Americans approve of the San Francisco 49ers quarterback's recent decision to sit during the national anthem, while 69% disapprove. And this is according to the new YouGov poll. Among Black Americans, though, the sentiment is essentially flipped. I know y'all can't believe that, but apparently it is. It's 72% of Black Americans approve of Kaepernick's protest, while only 19% who are, as we affectionately know them here on the Smooth Drama Show, Super Negroes, 19% disapprove. Jerry Rice. Yeah. Not that anybody be shocked by that. I was like, oh, yeah. But the fact that they wrote an article about it, they say there's a political divide is also present but to a lesser degree. It's not political. It's real simple. Black people are afraid of getting shot by the cops, and we support the fact that, hey, we want justice, so we won't be stopped and shot by the cops. White people who do not have that issue on the regular are not. They're like, why are you protesting? It's not happening to y'all. See, normally, if white people are stopped, you are committing real crimes. And even when you're stopped and charged with some shit, you know, it's not really all that serious. Although, I mean, we know that, like, there was the case of the young man, that unarmed young man that was murdered by the cops. And the cop was fired. And I was like, because when I saw, unarmed man that was killed by the cops, and the cop was fired, I was like, what? But then, you know, when I saw the picture, it was a white kid, I was like, yeah. Which is kind of the point. Once again, Colin Kaepernick standing up for it, and these kind of things happen. I mean, and of course, it has moved on. Cornerback Jeremy Lane of the Seattle Seahawks sat during the anthem, during the preseason game of the Raiders against Seattle. And I got racist Ronald Reagan on the tip of my tongue for some reason. Megan Rapinoe, she of soccer, female soccer. She said, you know what? My decision was very intentional, and she considered her taking the knee during the national anthem as an act of solidarity with quarterback Colin Kaepernick. And she goes on to say, I think it's actually pretty disgusting the way he was treated and the way that a lot of the media has covered it and made it about something that it absolutely isn't. We need to have a more thoughtful, two-sided conversation about racial issues in this country. Now, I was like, you know what? I'm going to check it out. Scroll down to the comments, because I don't know about y'all, but the articles talking about Colin Kaepernick, they called him every N-word under the sun, unpatriotic, just dog doo-doo. He is no good, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he was like the worst. So, I scrolled down because I wanted to see, how did they feel about Megan Rapinoe and her protest? Man, it was some of the nicest stuff ever. Hey, you know what? Nods off to Megan Rapinoe, who continues to shine light on certain things that need to be talked about. I mean, I kept waiting on the boom. Now, of course, there was some negativity, of course. There were some folks who were like, yeah, you know, it's wrong and you shouldn't do that. But there was no venom. I mean, I was searching for venom, and it was like 217 comments. And I kept waiting and waiting. And waiting, like LL Cool J, just starving like Marvin. But instead of for a Cool J song, I was like starving like Marvin for a negative comment, them calling her unpatriotic. All that shit did not happen. I went through every comment, even the sub-comment, and couldn't find it. Now, Megan Rapinoe is gay, first and foremost, and white woman. So, you know, that's two strikes. And you know most of the commenters know they couldn't do that. Because if they would attack the gay woman, shit, the gay white woman, they're done. Probably been fired from their job. Blacklisted, couldn't get a job ever again in the United States or in America. Not that there's a difference, but I just like saying that. the fact that it didn't escape me that the attacks on her were as soft as cotton candy. I mean, soft as cotton candy. Colin Kaepernick, straight up black mama venom, rattlesnake venom, baby rattlesnake venom. This whatever's the worst venom on earth, comedic asp, whatever, water moccasin. That's what he got. Megan Rapinoe. Nothing. I mean, I commend her. And along with her, I also commend, and I have to make sure I give a special shout out, because I see it every week. And this is before it was all famous and cool to say Black Lives Matter. The old group of white people on the corner of High Street here in the Bay Area every Friday, like clockwork, in the afternoon, late afternoon, early evening. They are out there with their Black Lives Matter banner. No fanfare, no cameras. They're just out there on the corner every week. Just wanted to shout them out, because I think it's important that you recognize folks that are real and genuine with it, because they come with no fanfare. Before there was fanfare about it, they are out there. I mean, they've been out there every week for a year and some change. Black Lives Matter on cardboard. And they sit out there for a couple hours. Just, we show our support and we move on. You know, now, it's like I changed here, but I didn't. I thought it was very important to me, because one, we're talking about Megan Rapinoe, who is making a not necessarily the same sacrifice as Colin Kaepernick as the black male. I mean, she's in women's soccer. The majority of the country won't bat an eye at her, because, shit, it's women's soccer. Nobody really cares about soccer here in the United States. But football is the number one sport, the number one testosterone sport. I mean, some women can watch NFL football and, like, get pregnant. It's so full of testosterone. So, Colin Kaepernick, Jeremy Lane, and the countless other people who are standing up, well, sitting down in protest. Yeah, hat's got to go off to them. In the meanwhile, I'm going to put my hat on when it comes to black voices on the Huffington Post. Man, I have never seen such hate for black folks on the black folks' supposed site. Black Voices is supposedly the site where black folks talk. And, you know, I know black folks not monolithic, and not everybody believes in what everybody says. But as some of y'all know, and I've talked about it on the show before, Nate Parker, who filmed Birth of a Nation, the Nat Turner story, coming out here end of this month, I believe. And the attacks, I mean, I've looked around and there are no attacks of Nate Parker, who was once again found innocent, acquitted. And, you know, you'll have the folks, oh, well, that doesn't mean he was innocent. I'm like, well, doesn't mean he was guilty. And once again, he didn't cop to it. They're like, well, you know, I saw an article. I still can't believe in Nate Parker. And, or like, Gabriel Union came out and said something. And they were like, well, she didn't attack Nate Parker. Yeah, I don't think that she was trying to attack Nate Parker. She was talking about rape culture. They're mad because no one will co-sign on their super Negro coonery. That's pretty much what it is. Them still attacking Nate Parker. And as we know, if Birth of a Nation is not coming out, we are not talking about Nate Parker and his acquittal. Not guilty, but his acquittal. I mean, never have I seen more folks attacking somebody who was found innocent. I mean, especially when you're talking about black folks. Then I have on the Black Voices, the Huffington Post. I think it's appalling. I mean, one, I will never side with a rapist. Anybody knows me and knows my personal story will know that, no, that shit don't fly with me. At the same time, a man was tried, a black man was tried, and he wasn't rich at the time either. A black man's tried by a jury of his peers, wink, wink. Think of that, in America, jury of your peers. Tried by a jury of his peers and found not guilty. Let it go. But apparently, we cannot. And so the super Negro attacks continue. But I'm not going to dwell on super Negro because I'm still on my high road day, hip-hop high. You know, I was fired up, you know, came home. I was like lifting weights a little bit so I can feel like cock strong a little bit, like look at the pecs on my chest, like, you know, like can I flex my chest a little bit. And, you know, it also reminded me how much I still love hip-hop. And it takes me to my favorite Common song. I still love her.
Common.
But since I found out I was told a fetish for clothes is faster. thoughts of an MC progressing through the good. Music for the 90s, 2000s, and beyond. Started with me wanting niggas to say he could ride. If now it's my time, then now it's forever. Change the world, rap, then style's getting better. Revolutionizing, rising above the game again. My career's fading like a DJ on the blend. Women love the voice, brothers dig the lyrics. This is hip hop, y'all. We driving for the spirit. OIG, it's in the house. Twilight Zone, he's in the house, yeah. Jay Period is in the house, yeah. Kanye, he's in the house, yeah. Good music, we in the house, yeah. Jay Dilla, he's in the house, and Yo the Roof, they in the house, and Christian Mills is in the house, yeah. Compton. Jay Period.
Your host, Mr. F the N word. That was Common. I still love her. And so that's me with hip hop. Because I actually did fall in love in fourth grade with hip hop. And, you know, been trying to holler at her, you know, get a little booty on the side ever since. And she kind of stingy right now because hip hop is like, ain't that pretty girl no more. Hip hop is like RuPaul now. It's like, I don't know. Like looking like, yeah, I don't think I'm down the disco age of hip hop. But what I am down for is Brock Turner. I didn't think that I would ever be so happy to talk about Brock Turner. Supposedly, what happened after he was released from jail, he returned to Ohio, Bellbrook, Ohio, and about a dozen armed protesters showed up to the house with signs calling for castration and the killing of rapists. And some of them say they plan to frequently return to make him, and I quote them, uncomfortable in his own home. And said there was one cat in particular, Daniel Harden, who said, with an extremely lenient servant, he can think, I can get away with this. And this Mr. Harden carried an M4 assault rifle during the interview. He said, the message we want to send is, if you try this again, we will shoot you. And I quote. I was like, see, remember, I think it was sometime last month, and I was like, you know, if folks threaten castration, and just showed up and was like, look, we're going to kill you. Other folks will stop. I bet you when he got back to Bellbrook, Ohio, he wasn't expecting that shit. He was expecting that homecoming, all that. And he came home to the homies with the rifle. Like, yeah, try to rape my sister. We cutting your dick off and we shooting your balls off your body. That's beautiful. I mean, it's like the most beautiful thing I've heard in a long, long time. Like, you threaten these cats. See, because I guarantee you this, he dating anybody. He would probably have, like, signed permission slips, like, look, you know, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I just to make sure, because, you know, there's some guys after me, and they say if I get charged with freight or that they hear about it, they're going to shoot me. So please, if you really, really want to have sex with me, please, can I just need to hear yes. I mean, he's going to be humble. He's going to be real humble. Good for Brock Turner. I hope that in the coming hours, days, weeks, months, he gets shit scared out of him. And he gets threatened a little bit. So now he can understand how them girls feel that he raped. Or the girl that he raped. And how other women and girls and men, for that matter, who've been raped, how they feel. Like, I go out, somebody's out to get me. That's beautiful shit. Shout out to the folks in Bellbrook, Ohio. I didn't think I would ever be shouting out anything that had to do with Ohio, Bellbrook, Ohio. But y'all some gangsters there. See, we talking about gangsters. Y'all be talking about these dudes. They ain't gangsters. Dudes like Daniel Harden carrying the M4 assault rifle. Talking about, try this again, we will shoot you. That's gangster. Anything else? Anybody else talking about how much they gangster? I ain't even hearing them. But what I did hear, and it's one of the things that's, it's not really talked about right now. You know, we've been talking about Colin Kaepernick and, you know, protesting Black Lives Matter and whatnot. And, you know, it was something that, going on in North Dakota, where they're trying to throw in a pipeline through an Indian reservation in North Dakota. Apparently, it's the site of the largest gathering of Native Americans over 100 years. And this new pipeline, which is trying to go through the Standing Rock Reservation, you know, the place where they put them in the first place. Now they want, you know, said you're a sovereign nation, but now they're like, yeah, we want to throw the oil lines because, generally speaking, the white people in North Dakota are like, nah. It's not going to go through our land. So you need to pump the Native Americans. So, and I don't know if y'all are familiar with it, but there have been, they hired ruffians, thugs, whatever the word you want to use, gangsters, whatever, to intimidate the Native Americans. The Native Americans, who are staying in the Red Warrior Camp, and it's one of two gatherings of Native American people near the Cannonball River in North Dakota. They're fighting because they're talking about the water, and how this pipeline will one, pollute their water, and cause all kinds of ecological damage on their land, their nation, you know, because just in case you didn't know, if you slept all through that part of history where the Native Americans were all forced to relocate to the worst pieces of land in the United States where nobody wanted to be, nobody wanted to live, where nothing really grows or anything like that. They were all forced to move there. This multi-billion dollar oil pipeline, which they're trying to build going through the land, is a detriment to not only their sacred site, but also, as I said, it's an ecological disaster because it destroys the trees. And, you know, when you spoil the water, you destroy everything else. Now, this is not something that's talked about because they're not going to be showing on Fox, ABC, NBC, the pictures of the Native American peoples who come together, all these different tribes, and they're being attacked by these militia because they're not state-sanctioned people for obvious reasons. They're private militias who have been hired to scare the Native American people. Now, one Native American guy described it as a war, only this time we don't have weapons. He's like, this is Bighorn all over again. It's not, we don't have weapons. We have our prayers, which, shit, it's no good. It's sort of like when Kaepernick and Jeremy Lin, all these guys, they said they're not going to stand up until justice has come about. I'm like, well, shit, y'all never standing up ever again here in America. And that, I would parallel that to the Native American plight when dudes like, yeah, we don't even have weapons. We have prayers. You shit out of luck. I mean, they stuck you there because they basically hated you and everything you stood for, just because, as we know. And prayers ain't going to cut it. Because they already sent the dogs and the people with guns. So it's just a matter of time where we screw over the Native Americans again. And I won't say we, because obviously we and, you know, me and you listeners listening, we have nothing to do with it, obviously. But it's something that's happening. You know, and the question is, would there be an outrage for that? I mean, I know a lot of people, I mean, we talk about the problems that we have as black people in America. I look at Native Americans because, you know, a lot of us have Native American blood in us. And even if you did, the fact that you have poor underrepresented people who were our allies till we sold them out and came Buffalo Soldiers, whatnot. What do we do? What do we think about the injustice that's happening to them? Just a thought. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Let me know what you think. On that note, I missed it at the N-word. And this was another Smooth Drama production. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.